a New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. Central America. Evan, I've been looking at old photographs of the Panama Canal building, 1906 to 1913. What a fascination. What they did with the machinery of the times. And you see these men out there recruited from Colombia, I propose, because Panama wasn't a separate state then, and from the United States. No helmets, no gear whatsoever, just a shovel in their hands, standing beside these enormous machines digging out the channel as the Panama Canal was created, linking the two oceans and making everyone prosperous, also eliminating the treacherous travel across the isthmus of Panama, the isthmus of Nicaragua, that often led to deaths of fever, etc. That was true for the first two centuries of the United States until the Panama Canal. I mention all this because Central America is critical to the development and the riches of the U.S., and it's deeply troubled by Ortega, certainly. There are other troubles, but Ortega of Nicaragua, who is darkness visible, as I understand it. However, all of a sudden, Gustavo Petro protests Ortega, says that expelling critics is wrong, and says that you're not with us. This struck me as an amazing development. Petro, who's understood to be popular left, guerrilla background, as you say, blaming Ortega for his bad policies. Does it surprise you?
Well, John, there certainly is a certain amount of jockeying within the left, because I think the left would not instinctively like to characterize it itself as anti-democratic. And so, you know, as, for example, the Ortega regime has becoming, you know, increasingly kind of the North Korean hermit kingdom, you know, the Kim Jong-un of the Americas, I think there's been a tendency of others, even within the called the more democratic left, to try to say, okay, you know, we might be left, but that doesn't mean we're authoritarian. And so you saw the same thing with Gabriel Boric in Chile, who had criticized some of the practices in Venezuela under the Maduro regime, and that sparked a bit of a spat there. You have this most recent accusation where, again, the Ortega basically expulsion of political prisoners, about 222, and basically then the revocation of their Nicaraguan citizenship, that you know, this was an opportunity for those such as Petro, who may have his own worrying tendencies, but who would like to consider himself a Democrat. This is an opportunity for him to I think score some points for, you know, Democratic voice in, you know, a part of the left that's being seen as increasingly isolated and without friends. And yet, having said that, it's important to recognize that one thing is rhetoric, and another thing is action. And so that same Gustavo Petro also has opened the door to the Colombian border, to the, you know, frankly, the criminal regime of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, and has helped to re-legitimize it, just as the Lula government in Brazil, you know, has. And so, again, I think we're seeing some democratic jockeying, taking pot shots at anti-democratic action. But at the end of the day, we also have to recognize that a certain part of the left is certainly not as aligned with what we'd call a kind of a democratic policy agenda that Washington would like to define in the same way that it was just a few short years ago.
And in the next room, I picture it like a Hollywood movie. In the next room, after these presidents make these sharp remarks against each other, they open the door and they smile, and waiting for them are the Chinese check writers. It's all wonderful, Evan. One more detail, however. The question of El Salvador. I understand Bukele can come under a lot of attention because of his crypto policies, especially with the crash of crypto. But I saw photographs of how he treats the prisoners in his jails. There was an announcement of a new mega jail opened. These men are shoved up against each other. It looks like the gulag in the tropics. Bukele is not ignorant. He must know that he's creating the next generation of violent men. There'd be no other way to deal with your life after you've been treated in this fashion. That was true for the Soviet Union. After the gulag was opened, it led to a generation of disorder and dysfunction and criminality, maybe still today. Is anyone protesting the way Salvador treats his prisoners. We have about a minute.
The irony is for Bukele, this is enormously popular, but in many ways, it's also history repeating itself, because it was in the early 2000s when the first gang violence cropped up as a serious problem in El Salvador that the then the Arena government also responded by trying to put all of the gang members in jail. And that really precipitated the recruitment of more gang members within the jail and the ability of gang leaders in jail to be able to unify and coordinate and make what had previously been a decentralized gang leadership into a more coordinated national level leadership. And so Bukele's response to what had become overwhelming violence once again was to throw everyone in jail. If you even look like a gang member under emergency authority provision that he secured with the dominance of his New Ideas Party. So something like 64,000 Salvadorans have been thrown in jail in the past year under Bukele. Again, if you want to get violence down, throw everyone in jail that looks like a gang member, at least in the short term. It's amazing how much that brings down violence, and violence has actually come down, and that's made Bukele enormously popular.
We have 30 seconds, Professor. Go ahead.
The long-term costs of that in terms of the effects on gang membership and the power of the gangs, and frankly, the implications for democratic rule when under emergency power, you can just put anybody in jail that you want and repress them in jail as you want. The implications over the long term for the country are somewhat worrisome. And the popularity, not unlike the popularity of you know, dictators throughout history who have jailed opposition from Adolf Hitler to others, is not lost on the State Department and others who say, okay, Bukele is popular, but who are looking at this with grave concern in terms of where the country is going.
Professor Ravenelis, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.